This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Woohoo! It's almost Friday.
Almost Friday. Not quite yet, Dave.
Not quite.
Welcome to Newsmakers, folks. This is Brent DeHart here. You have Newsmakers, where we have local talk here from Marion and Polk County, focusing on Salem and Kaiser and the surrounding areas, and kind of ignore all that national stuff. Is anybody else full of that stuff?
I stopped watching.
You can't. I mean, I like when they keep talking about the same thing with no new news, you know, for
and they keep bringing people on, and then they just spew something out, and people take it as gospel.
And, you know, I noticed this thing, and we complain about this in the national news, national outlets, and be it CNN or Fox, or is that it's a news show. You have to have a distinction between what's an opinion show and what's a news show, right? So O'Reilly was always an opinion show. It
right.
was always a commentary show. It wasn't news. And then, but then I'm watching CNN, and the guy starts making value judgments on language and this and that. And I'm like, aren't you just supposed to take the news?
Yeah.
And this commentary about
it's
this.
It's commentary.
I says, well, this doesn't really rise to blah, blah, and this doesn't, and if, you know, whatever. Anyway, I'm sick of it. It only takes me like 5 minutes to get sick of it. So it's nice to have the local talk, folks. There's a lot going on. Later in the hour, we're going to talk to Dan Clam from Union Gospel Mission, get an update on how they're doing.
Yeah.
Before the hour is up, we're going to talk to Cowboy Ron and Sergeant Mike. I have
Oh, that's right. It's Thursday.
No idea what's on their heads right
now. No.
You know, we never know what they're going to come into the studio with. So let's knock out some few things and our commentary on some things happening locally. So SIO was in the news this week, if you guys caught it in the Statesman Journal. And sometimes my job is just to help you understand how to read some of these things and what really is the case. Dollar General applied for a land use decision so that they could build a store in SIO.
Mm-hmm.
They said no.
What?
Like, no, we don't.
Why would you not want a Dollar General store?
And that is how most people probably read the article. If you read the entire article, what you learn is that they're asking for a land use change. It's not zoned for retail of that size in that area.
Oh, in that spot.
So did the city administrators or decision makers not want a Dollar General because they don't think it suits the community's personality?
No.
You know, is that why they said no?
No.
Is it just a land use thing? And said, no, we don't want to change our zoning. So you start by reading the headline in the first paragraph. It sounds like SIO as a community has rejected Dollar General.
Right? Wow.
Like, we don't want Dollar General here. And folks, it's not how it works.
Isn't that the reporter's responsibility to not do that?
Well, I think in America now, the reporter's job is to write something that sounds like it's a controversy.
Oh.
Right?
Instead of reporting the news like the Salem Reporter does?
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways, folks.
And digs deep into it. You would, if Salem Reporter did a story on it, and I'm sure they're going to now, you would find out that they just asked for them a zone change in a place where they're not allowed at the moment. So Dollar General could apply for building somewhere else in SIO.
Mm-hmm.
That would be zoned for retail.
That's zoned for retail of that size, too.
Because I could do better reporting than that.
But of course you do. You are a trained professional.
That's true. But
all right.
Still.
Anyway, folks, we read about these things on national level. Communities want to reject Walmart. And sometimes we've seen some of the Portland metro
or
communities. Or Costco.
Mm-hmm.
Portland communities trying to change their zonings and changing their design standards, it's called, folks, when they're trying to control what can be built in what areas of town. So, I don't know. Maybe Dollar General needs a smaller footprint. Maybe they need a different location. And maybe SIO just doesn't want them. It was fun, though, you know, the quotes, you know, from SIO is, we are not on anybody's way to anything. We're like right between the forks, two forks of a river, and you don't go through SIO on your way to anywhere.
That's a good quote.
It's a great little community out there. Hey, Si, I hope you're listening.
They speak the truth.
All right, let's move on. Anyway, that's your insights from newsmakers here on Dollar General and their desire to have a store. It's kind of cool that somebody wants to invest in Si, though.
Right?
You know, it's
well, it makes sense
cheap.
To have a Dollar General store there. I mean, somebody needs them.
There's one near...
I shop there. My wife shops there.
There's one in Independence.
Yeah, right.
Nothing costs a dollar almost, but...
Yeah, which is misleading for that. A Dollar General store is not a dollar.
Sounds like there's a lot of commerce in the news today. A lot of commerce. Did you see, and this touches the national news, but very, very important in Oregon, is that House has a bill to allow banks to accept marijuana money. Right? You see that? Business.
Even though it's still illegal.
Mm-hmm. They're trying to find a workaround. As reported in the Statesman Journal and amongst other places. But, you know, this is a problem. And no matter how we feel about pot, is it a gateway drug? Is it destroying all of our youth and our society? Is it the worst thing to happen to America ever? Or you don't really care? You're ambivalent about it? I mean, I don't see anybody causing riots and demonstrations about somebody wanting to dope up in their home.
No, because they're eating munchies.
So on a pragmatic way of looking at it, folks, it exists. It exists in Oregon in a huge way. There's so many stores, there's so many products, and we've talked about this, but not for a long time. With cannabis, there's such an integration of services that it really is a dynamo when it comes to economic activity. So let's just, of course, you have to grow the thing. So
right.
It's agriculture. And then you have to harvest it, and it's in touch with labor and this and that, and you have to process it,
mm-hmm.
and you turn it into product. And mm-hmm. sometimes it's just crumbled leaves.
True.
But now, of course, they're putting it in foods and tinctures and oils and candies and all creams and all sorts of ways, and they're doing it in a way that does not have THC, which is what we always think of when you see the stoners light up that they're getting high on that THC chemistry. Or is it just CBD, which is now becoming quite popular,
mm-hmm.
very, very popular. People
Big
of
business.
All ages, including the elderly.
Yes.
You're using CBD oils for pain and creams where mm-hmm. you can rub it on arthritic joints and back issues and so forth. Anyway, but the problem is now it's real estate and it's agricultural and it's processing and it's food, you know, processing and production, distribution, so it touches transportation, and all of this generates a cash business, and they don't have anywhere to put the money.
Because it's still illegal federally.
Right, so they cannot bank, and they're, you know, we've seen stories where they're paying their property tax, they're paying their income tax in cash, and they mm-hmm. drive down, and, you know, there's boxes and boxes of money. That's not safe, folks. That's the practical part of it. It's
right?
just not safe.
It's not.
You know, and it does involve a lot of people who provide services. Maybe it's a armored car service, right?
Right.
Maybe it's we empty the safe, we count the money, and we launder your money for you. Whatever it is, or we transport it from Southern California to Central or Southern Oregon to Central Oregon, right?
Right.
All of those things, and they're all legitimate. And they're not cannabis business. They're not drug dealers, right? They're transportation companies.
Mm-hmm.
They are marketing companies, advertising, web providers, you know, all these other providers that intersect, and the money is tainted because it's illegal federally, right? Should they be able to bank in a bank without the bank experiencing a liability, right?
True.
Should they be able to? And the House may pass this. Even if the House passes it, is a Republican-controlled Senate going to pass it? And is a president going to sign it? It's really important to Oregonians. And now we have, of course, hemp being grown in the Mid-Valley. And mm-hmm. hemp may or may not have CBD. And most hemp products, when you talk about industrial hemp, fiber products of hemp, it doesn't even have THC, right? It doesn't even have it. It's used for completely different things.
Right.
So, and sometimes hemp has historically over the last couple of generations been thrown in there with the big scare.
Right.
The evil weed,
yeah.
The wacky weed.
Totally separate.
Talk about times when our government is completely irrational.
Yeah.
Right? Hemp used to be a great product for rope. and clothing.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just, it's fiber, people. And it was a huge product. And they made it illegal, even the stuff that did not have any psychotropic effects.
Mm. You know, there's, I just got an idea for their money problem.
Tell me. Give it to you?
No.
Oh.
It'd be nice, but no. Visa card that you can load up.
You go buy Visa cards with it, yeah?
Well, buy a Visa card, right? And then they can load the cash onto it.
What do you do when you're bringing in $30,000 a week? That's tough.
Ooh, $10,000 a day, take it to the bank,
yeah.
Load it onto the Visa card.
Yeah, and you can't take it to the bank.
Yeah, oh, you can't take it to the bank?
You can't. Mm-mm.
Yeah, bank not at all?
Accept, not if they know the source.
Do they ask?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
And they, it's and cash. Why would they question it?
It's funny you should bring up the $10,000 because there is a threshold of $10,000. If you accept a deposit that's $10,000 or more, you have to document who's depositing it, what the source of the money was, and where it came from.
Oh, so, that's kind of messed up. I know it's to prevent a lot of different things, but so if I bring $9,999, right?
Uh-huh.
Bring it in.
Yeah.
They won't ask me where it came from?
Theoretically.
Okay.
Theoretically.
There you go.
Yeah. Democratic reps, U.S. reps, Denny Heck of Washington State, Ed Perlmutter of Colorado. They view it as a public safety measure. Exactly what we're talking about. We're a little late now. I want to come back and want to talk about the boycott of Fred Meyer next. There's so many commerce things in the news, folks. I'm Brent DeHart. Here with me is Dave Bourne, and you are listening to Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Green Acres Landscape.
Welcome back to Newsmakers, folks. This is Brent DeHart. We were just talking about the potential for banking of cannabis-related businesses to be allowed in the U.S. And it's
I can't imagine carrying around $30,000 to... where do you put it?
They have rooms stacked of cash. Rooms full.
So...
It's a very big business.
Because safes won't hold that much.
Yeah, and they can't accept credit cards, so it's always a cash business, and... You walk in, and if you do not have cash, they might have an ATM there, and you can get cash, but you cannot pay with a check because they can't cash it. You can't pay with a credit card because they can't process it, right? And so they have all this cash, and the argument is that it lends itself for crime, lends itself
totally.
For illegal money laundering
as
a necessity. It's like, oh, so we want them to go to unsavory,
so the
know,
state
people.
Approves the sale of marijuana. But they didn't think through the illegalness of the federal side where you can't deal with the money.
I think they all thought that...
And they knew it was going to be big business. That's why they okayed it.
Yeah.
Like $6 billion a year, right?
Yeah.
Or more?
I don't know.
It's pretty big.
It is huge. I always thought...
And they wanted to get their hands on the taxes. How do they do it if it's just cash only?
They get it in cash.
Wow.
They come up with wheelbarrows, man.
Here's my taxes. Not a surprise
that U.S. representatives from Colorado, where cannabis is legal, and Washington, where cannabis is legal.
Yeah.
33 states now have either medical or recreational marijuana approved. So I thought the federal would relook at it after California fell into line with decriminalizing it.
Okay. And so, did they know?
And they haven't yet. I thought the size of California and the weight of all of that market, plus they're going to look at the taxation revenue that all these states are getting,
mm-hmm.
right? And when was the last time the feds didn't want a piece of the taxation revenue?
They want a piece of everything we have.
So, and honestly, it seems like Trump is not favorable. I can't really say that, but they certainly haven't made any changes since he was elected. They did not change. As in terms of their policy on whether or not it should be a Schedule I drug and so forth.
If 33 of the states are in it, though, I think that the federal would certainly take a look at it.
Yeah.
At least some of the representatives would try and come up with some legislation, maybe.
Doesn't that strike you as something that's not going to go back? The genie's not going to go back in the bottle?
No, it's open. It's out.
All right. Hey, So you're going to a store,
mm-hmm.
and there's picketers out front. What do you do?
We're talking Fred Meyer and Safeway.
And Safeway, potentially. But I mean, right now it's Fred Meyer negotiations with their labor unions and so forth.
I shop at Fred Meyer.
Mm-hmm. Are you going to walk past the picketers?
I am.
Okay. So they're calling for a boycott of Fred Meyer because, and this is always the phrase, it's one of those things that just means nothing after a while.
Mm-hmm.
They're unfair to the workers. Unfair to the workers. Well, what does that mean exactly? Does that mean they didn't give you what you want at the negotiating table?
Mm-hmm. Pretty much.
I mean, what is unfair?
Have you been following the story?
Just the headlines,
little bit. That's not going to give you the whole story.
No.
I've been watching and... they've been doing in-depth reporting on it on KGW. And they were like, okay, unfair to the workers in pay or gender pay is what they were talking about. So they broke it down. And there's two different tiers of pay that they have for two different things, Schedule A and Schedule B. It just so happens that more females work in Schedule B, which is paid less than Schedule A, where more men work. It's just how it works. And they're using that as there's a gender gap of pay in there. But it's always been there. So I'm not sure how they can still use that because it's not true.
Let's presume that we're all in agreement for equal pay, equal work. Right?
Okay.
And then in your scenario, say Schedule B has more higher paying warehouse, forklift operators, transportation jobs, and more men are gravitated towards that. And
that would be Schedule A.
Oh, Schedule A.
Schedule B has more
cashiers.
More cashiers, bakery, customer service, where more women tend to work.
You can't force women to go drive the trucks.
I know, right?
Work in the warehouse. You can't force men to like, you know, customer service because, you know, we're not as gracious as women.
That's true.
That.
We don't. We are
so
not
sexist.
as so well natured as they are.
Yes, indeed. So, and that's the whole thing as well in high tech. Do you blame the industry because they won't hire women in high tech, or is it a societal thing that you really just can't be troubled about? So, or it's not the fault of the companies. At any rate. I don't know what to do about it. I don't see a case there where it's like, are you mistreated like they're forcing you to work and not get paid? Are you mistreated in that you were promised things and they were not granted, like a raise or vacation pay or benefits or something? What's unfair? And if it's just the gender discrimination, well, that's a part for the Department of Labor and the
A strike? That's a little extreme.
Would you go and buy a Chevrolet when the United Auto Workers are striking against General Motors?
When was this?
This month.
It was?
Yeah. They've been on strike. Where have you been?
Good thing I bought my GM 4 years ago then.
Yeah, this last month. They're still on strike, I think. They have not done something.
Was that the one where the CEO is raking in $22 million as they close down 5 plants?
You know,
that was from 2018.
Certain things I just can't track because they don't.
I just
really
saw that today.
Me. They don't really. If we had a GM plant in Oregon, we'd be reading it like crazy.
We would,
but we don't have any United Auto Workers. But I'm just a general question of whether or not people are going to cross that ticket, whether they're going to cross the picket line, whether it matters to them that there's contract negotiations that are going on. I mean, the same is true with Major League Baseball, and they're playing without a contract and do the collective bargaining agreement.
Right,
and so
but
forth.
You and I, we negotiate our salaries behind closed doors. Nobody really cares. These people are airing it out in public because they have a union.
Yeah, 25,000 workers in Oregon.
Why is it the unions always air it out in public?
Well, I think that happens.
They try and make the public feel sorry for them.
Right. Right.
I'm sorry. Negotiate it behind closed doors. I don't care how much you are making or if you think you're making less than other people. None of us are making the same as the other people.
You know what I care about? I care about injustice.
I do too.
Right?
Yeah.
I care about injustice. But if you're not winning at the bargaining table, I don't care. That's the distinction. So... hey, if you didn't get everything you wanted, I don't call that unfair. And if you're unhappy with Fred Meyer, then maybe you should go try Safeway. Safeway's also a unionized shop.
right? Yeah, but is it, this is going to affect several stores.
Many. Yeah, 25,000 workers.
That's a lot.
Yeah. That's just
the, again, the union flexing it out into public, airing out their laundry. I'm not a fan.
And then the question is, do they really have, are they going to go out and strike in it? How many people really need that? They're on a month-to-month budget.
Sure.
Right? And if they go on strike and that money does not flow in, can they hold out against the big evil corporation?
Right.
Yeah. So, at any rate, I don't know. That's a tough one. I don't know that much into it, but I am curious for our audience, how many people will not go to Fred Meyer because there's no labor contract with the union members, and the union members have fed up and they're going to go and potentially go on strike. How many people will that affect? Well, how many
sales dollars will that affect? And you're talking the workers, the transportation, that's going to affect everybody.
So interesting. We're talking about General Motors. Mm-hmm. So I just recently had a repair done on my vehicle, and it's a General Motors vehicle. They couldn't get the parts because they're United Auto Workers who are shipping the parts. The parts might be manufactured, but they are in they're in Detroit or what have you, right?
Right.
And they won't ship them because they're on strike along with United Auto Works. It's just not the people putting the cars together.
What?
So suddenly it dries up the ability for the auto body shops and the repair shops to get parts because nobody will ship them.
Again, the union affecting.
All right, we got to talk to Dan Klem here in a minute. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back. You're listening to Newsmakers. My name is Brent DeHart with Dave Morin on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Len Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Color Tile of Salem.
And welcome back to Newsmakers, folks. This is Brent DeHart, and joining us on the phone is Dan Klem with Union Gospel Mission. Hi, Dan. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Brent and Dave. It's great to be on the show.
Welcome back.
Hey, we've had you on the show with Mike Roberson, of course, talking about the fundraising for the new facility, and we just wanted an update from you to see how fundraising is going, how the timeline looks, what other hurdles you've had to overcome or are still struggling with.
Well, thanks for the questions, Brent. That was a couple million dollars ago, so thank you to everybody for supporting not only Union Gospel Mission downtown and also Simonica Place and our thrift store, but for supporting the capital campaign for what we call Hope as a new address. That's the Newman's Mission planned for the property on the west side of Commercial across from where the new police department is. Looks like it's getting some walls and a roof this week. So we're not coveting, but we're planning to be there about a year from now in that same construction mode. But we are still in the we're probably in the final two chapters of an 8-chapter capital campaign, and so we are pressing hard for wrapping up the donations right now. We've got a $1.3 million campaign we're working with the general public and with obviously donors and with foundation grant applications to wrap that up. And then we'll see where we're at related to when we get started. But ideally, it would all come in the next couple of months, and then we could sit down and take a look at how soon we could get started. I mean, Dan Klem would love to start this year, but it's really a function of fundraising. So please, again, thank you for supporting, and please consider helping us in these last two chapters of fundraising.
So that
our campaign's for $1.3 million we're trying to reach. So we just had a couple of large donations, and we're encouraged for even the very smallest of donations. So, Brent, yeah.
Yeah, let me ask you a question. The 1.3, is that the last chunk, or was that 1.3 to finish a chapter, but there's going to be another push for...
Yep, 1.3 is Chapter 8, and then we'll see where we go with Chapter 9 to finish it up.
Where do you have areas that you have not tapped? I mean, a lot of people, obviously, the project's been fairly high profile. You have some very high profile community members stumping for it, and you've had some good money come in. Where is left to tap that you can find the final 1.3?
There, well, Brent, we're a faith organization, so we're first on our knees, but praying for help. But we've had such loyal donors through UGM, and we're asking our regular donor base to chip in, as well as there are a number of larger donors who've said, "Look, when you get toward the end, we want to help make sure you get over the top."
Oh, okay.
So we've got over the top campaign planned, and but we got to get Chapter 8 done first. So it really is even so much the untapped, but in fact, we've had a number of donors for many, many years, and we're now in October asking everybody to chip in.
Yeah, so
as well as the public.
Union Gospel, of course, is a local organization. There's no national organization to, you know, get grants from, like sometimes church bodies can do, or other, you know, if it's Red Cross or something that has a national organization might be able to tap for some assistance locally, but that doesn't exist. But are you getting support from the faith community? Are you doing presentations in churches and so forth?
We are. The churches have responded amazingly, some of them will make a one-year commitment, some will make a three-year commitment. So we spent quite a few Sundays visiting those that have been faithful and even some new churches lately. So it's always amazing to see not so much the churches, some of them respond as a body, but really their individual members. Everybody wants to do something to help. And so it's really quite, it's really cool. You're not just speaking to an organization. You really are speaking to, you know, 300 hearts that care. So,
and, you know, if you get 1,000 people doing $25 a month, it's $25,000 a month. And then every 4 months, it's another 100 grand, right? It's 300,
thank you.
300 grand at the end of the year. So, folks, don't think you need to write a $25,000 or a $250,000 check.
I was sweating that.
You could, yeah. Dave was like, how am I going to cover this before payday?
Right.
But you could.
Well, you nailed it, Brent.
If we go to UGM, what is it? UGM Salem, the website?
UGM, Union Gospel Mission of Salem. I mean, we serve Salem and Kaiser, Polk County.
But the website.
But UGM of Salem. And look at some of our YouTubes. We've got some stories of, some amazing stories of how lives are transformed. I mean, people going full of despair and bouncing up the sidewalks to just now coming out and coming back to the community and families being restored. So it's about the good stories. It's about taking folks from homeless to having homes. So
there's a cascade of positive things that can come out of this development in Salem. So you have a block downtown is going to potentially get redeveloped down the road. You have a brand new facility and everything that comes with it, more capacity, hopefully fewer maintenance costs and more servanthood happening and more lives changed and so forth. So it's the mission, it's the facility, it's the ongoing operational costs. And it's also, on the flip side, just ancillary benefit is you got another area downtown that can get revitalized and get rebuilt. So let me ask you this, Dan. We've seen with the police facility some cost overruns. Of course, they're on a larger scale, and they are a prevailing wage job and so forth. Are you seeing that as far as your estimates to build, or is totally how, well, we were budgeting this many millions, but we're not going to get there? How is that affected?
We've been updating our budget as we go along. I will tell you that we've had some cost increases because we base a lot of our bids on what's being built in the next year. So we've kept revising our estimates, and now we've landed on a good amount. It'll just be a hair under what we estimated 2 years ago, $15 million. Our pricing is now realistic. And virtually shy of starting the project, locked in. So we are using the same pricing as you'll see for the YMCA and the MAPS. credit union improvements. That whole area is being revitalized as well, Brent, with the and Division Street and Union Street will get rebuilt. So we're using the same pricing that those projects are. And we've had to make some cuts. We still will well serve up to 300 men, 200 in emergency shelter, and almost 100 in the recovery program. But with Hope has a new address, which is 777 Commercial Street Northeast, we're excited about we had to make some cuts, but
Dan, I'm really glad that you're not a block away and across the street, because you could have ended up with a 666 address,
right?
That's not happening. You plug along and you stay faithful and you target what you need and want.
Go ahead.
I think you would have put the front door at a different, turn the building to a different street. Didn't get the 666 number.
Yeah, you're right. The 666 might have been.
So, Dan, we're talking to Dan Clem of Union Gospel Mission about Hope has a new address and the new facility and the fundraising. With the Y, with the YMCA, Dan, they were utilizing some gap funding and some loans from a lender, either traditional or non-traditional. Will that be part of your financial execution?
At this time, no. No, we're heavily engaged in raising funds, and that's always a possibility. It always is with a large project. Most of the churches and larger, more public use facilities do leverage or include some form of debt. Regardless of us raising all of the money, just because it comes in at different times when you need to spend it, we'll likely have to look at some bridge loan funding just during the times of heavy construction.
Maybe when it starts coming out of the ground, it'll inspire people. Right?
Yeah, right.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. That's why I'm excited about finishing up Chapter 8.
You don't want to get to a place where you have a new building and you're able to, but you can't staff it because you don't have the operational funds, right?
Yeah, we planned some in fact, we just met with a number of folks who are helping us develop some new operational long-term giving plans, and we're putting those into effect in October of 2019. We're not waiting till we get the building built, and then all of a sudden, we're building. We're projecting all the fundraising that we need to be faithful for the next 5 years, Brent.
All right, we got about a minute left. Tell us when you're going to start building.
Yeah, I got to finish the fundraising.
We got to get done.
I would love to do it sooner and later. But,
all right. And a $15 million project.
Yep.
But you're looking for the last 1.3 to get her done.
Yeah.
And how can people how can people give? Just walk in the door with the check, or they go on the website. You said you had some YouTube videos.
Website giving is most convenient, but in fact, stop by the thrift store or the mission, and we're happy to take any donations, small, large. Gifts in kind. Our store is doing real well, providing a lot of stuff for a lot of folks, but right now we need to finish up the capital campaign. I do want to mention tremendous donors and love in Kaiser. Kaiser Businesses and Salem Businesses helped build the new courtyard for the ladies, a very respectful and healing place. So that renovation is done, and we're just so very thankful for how folks care about both the men's shelter and the women's shelter.
All right, we're going to have to take a break and get it to see Sergeant Mike and Cowboy Ron. Just one last comment. It's, hey, folks, $25 a month, $50 a month, $100 a month, committed for 12 months, committed for 3 years. And, hey, if enough of us do that, that really helps them get this done. It's going to be exciting. Dan Clem, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it, and we appreciate what you're bringing to the community, and God bless you.
Yeah, you too, Brent, Dave, thanks.
Stay with us, folks. We'll be right back with Cowboy Ron and Sergeant Mike to finish up our hour on 1430 KYKN Salem. I hope you're listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is brought to you by Sylvan Learning Center. And welcome back to Newsmakers, folks. Brent DeHart here with Dave Morn, and we welcome back to our studios as we do about once a week, Sergeant Mike and Cowboy Ron to give us their viewpoints on what's going on in the world and the way it should be. That's how we should title your segment, I think, folks, The Way It Should Be. Welcome back to the studio. What's on your mind, gentlemen?
Well, I'll tell you what. I was in our conversation earlier today, I was saying what interesting times we live in. I used to want to be a generation older than I was, but in my lifetime now, there are so many things that have happened so fast to so many. It's amazing. I got up this morning, 5 or 6 o'clock, get a cup of coffee, turn the TV on just to check the weather and this and that. Holy cow, I kept trying to go to different, everybody had it on. And I'm like, what in the world? But those guys want to fry him. They want to do it however they can.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You haven't heard.
No, I haven't heard. And it's just a comment you made a while ago. How could, with a straight face, all those combatants talk about Trump and avoid Biden? And could be the same thing. Let's just say. And I kept my partner here. He's just been fired up he's been drinking coffee for 4 hours, and he is fired up about Pelosi and Ukraine and hundreds of billions or millions of dollars. And what's going on with you, Cowboy?
Well, here's what the Cowboy's thinking about today. I want to comment, sorry, as you did. The times we live in are fascinating. Technology, which I take kind of a back seat to on. I got an old flip cell phone. But we have good times. I mean, our technology is changing every day with a new item, new way of doing something. It's pretty hard for me to sit back and watch a bunch of bullheaded politicians fighting in a platform position in an election. I sit back and I watch the Russian influence with an election and got sick daily. We don't hear about that now. And now they've grabbing a small issue and brought it forward. Well, again, I don't think Brent and I kind of agree about, I don't know if Mr. Trump should have made a phone call or not. But what you should have to, Brent, is you look at Biden being following in the shirt tails of Obama and our foreign aid to this foreign country. And if you look at it, everybody needs to pull the screen and see what we're doing in foreign aid. And we're looking at that millions of dollars that we're giving to develop that country. And what are we getting out of it? Oh, Mr. Obama and Biden go over, and the first thing we know, Biden's son, an inexperienced youth that has basically done nothing, is a board member on a foreign country natural gas board.
$50,000 a month.
Yeah, $50,000 a month.
That's about what I make.
Yeah. Good, $600,000 a year. So, ladies and gentlemen, look at the collusion. Look at all the mess. Bring Biden forward, have him get out of the election, and then we end up with Pocahontas and Bernie. What are we going to do with them? But what I'm looking at is you be aware of the millions of dollars that we're giving foreign countries, and Trump's saying no to a lot of these situations now and is cutting back for a company. We don't even have a balanced budget. And here we are giving millions. And look at the breakdown of all the BS that breakdown is going to. And we're paying an agency just to have good lunches and fill somebody's pockets. Yeah. Now, as being a general contractor and a builder all my life, and being, if this good old boy situation in the United States of America kind of works, if you're a good old boy, you're going to get a pole somewhere. This is cowboy logic.
That's what it is.
Did you just say good old boy network works if you're a good old boy? Well, that doesn't really work for everybody else.
It works sometimes. These guys are getting
caught. You're going to get rioted and say something like that.
Yeah. No, good old boys, it works. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, we were talking about the interesting times and the technology and all this and that. And, oh, man, you're a hoot.
It's okay, but I'm a good old boy, too.
Yes, you are. Mm-hmm. You're a good old boy.
We fix a lot of guns for nothing.
That's right. You guys, I tell you, we were at a remote broadcast from your store a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, Warren was great.
Wasn't he?
Oh, we had a ball.
People just kept flying in there.
We gave 22 shells away. We gave pizzas away. Brent should have been there for a pizza.
Well, he's on a diet. He's on an apple diet. He'll stay away from the pizza.
Okay, sounds good. But I tell you what, if you look at this quagmire that we're fighting over an election and bringing this stuff forward, this garbage, we don't have any time for it. We need to move on to better things.
All right, I got two questions for you, gentlemen. Will Trump be impeached, and should Trump be impeached?
Go ahead, Mike.
Well, I think I don't think he should be, no. I think there will be an attempt to impeach him. I don't see it happening. There's not time for it all to happen, and it could cause him not to get elected again. And that may be what they're really working on, is just trying to smear him so badly. But what do you think, Cowboy?
Well, for me being a good old boy, I think it's the president's responsibility of the United States. If he hears or thinks something that's in depredation, I would, to the United States of America, I would go after Obama or Biden for even getting involved with that mess. And why was he involved?
Why would he go after them?
Yeah, and I think, thank you, Mr. Trump, for bringing it forward.
Why would he go? They just jump down in the mud together on that deal. Obama was loved by half the country. Boy, I mean, they more than that. They loved that guy.
Yeah, I understand that. But the thing is, it's still collusion.
It is.
Yeah, and Obama, I mean, it's Obama era, but it's really about Biden and his son. It's really about, right?
Yes.
So is it going to blow up on Trump, and is it going to blow up on Biden? So that's the other thing. Do you think that the Ukrainian president will investigate whether or not there was wrongdoing or undue influence on behalf of the vice president? Do you think he'll investigate that? Do you think it will come out?
I think he will. And I think that Biden will just bow out of everything, so keep it quiet. Because even already, the Democratic Party has already got red-hot poker at the ready. You know, and so I think I think he'll just bow out of the race. What do you think?
I would like to look forward. We commented about this, is that all of our presidents have had conversations about issues. And the way I feel about it, if you have an issue or something as a president of the United States, you should be able to have a conversation to look for something that's illegal or going wrong.
Yeah, I wonder if they think this is an impeachable offense if Joe Biden is not a declared candidate for president, right?
Yeah, I don't know. It's an inquiry. I think it's a wasteful inquiry.
All right. That is Cowboy Ron and Sergeant Mike talking about the national scene and what is going on from an old boy's perspective. So, yeah, we're going to be talking about that next week. Thanks for joining us. We're going to do this again tomorrow. So join us for Friday's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave on 1430 KYKN.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.